The Lord willing, I expect to begin with the first verse of the book of Revelation. And we hope to go through that book word by word. Might involve a year, 2 years, study, meditation. And Sunday evening, we will begin a study of the book of Romans. The importance of the book of Romans is manifest in that it tells us of the need of men to be saved, of the need of the gospel. It gives us the gospel, the results of the gospel. It's not in the Acts of the Apostles, but it's in the book of Romans that you find the content of the gospel of Christ. When the Lord called me into his service, the commission I received from him was to preach the word. Preach the word. And I want to talk about the word this morning and this evening. Some thought we might dismiss this evening, but this evening might be the last service we have. You never know. The Lord might come at the close of the service, and he might not. But the Bible. So if you'll turn with me to 2 Timothy, chapter 3, Second Timothy is very dear to my heart in the study of the Word of God because this is the last letter that Paul wrote. And as he was writing this letter, he knew he soon was to be executed. To be killed, he knew this was the last thing that he would write. And of many famous last words, possibly this is the greatest. And as Paul is writing to Timothy to encourage him for his ministry, in the third chapter, and the 14th verse, he says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Timothy had learned from Eunice and Lois, grandmother and his mother. And he learned from Paul. Now remember, who taught you the things? That from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Paul's emphasis upon the word and the importance of the word It was said of Dr. Truett, as he lay dying, that a young minister who was privileged to speak to him in those moments asked him, if he had his life to live over, would there be any change in that which he had done? And he said, yes, in particular, I would give much more time to the study of the Word and to prayer. The Word and prayer. Concerning the casting out of a demon, our Lord said, this kind cometh not forth but by prayer and fasting. Now here Paul is admonishing Timothy to pay attention to the Bible, to the Word of God. How interesting is this 15th verse, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. The word translated Scripture literally is letters or the writing. I was interested in that because when it comes to the inspiration of the Word of God, there are those who contend that God did not inspire the words. He simply inspired the thoughts, and individuals were permitted to express themselves in their own words. But you cannot have a thought without word concept. I look at this. The word comes to me as watch. The concept is Bible, podium, rostrum. I don't see how one can have a thought without words. Personally, I believe in the verbal inspiration of the Scripture. I believe in the inspiration of the words. It is my privilege to hear Dr. Tidwell, formerly professor of Bible at Baylor University, years ago, as he came to speak one night in the church of which I was pastor, and speaking of verbal inspiration and the inspiration of the thoughts, he said of those who contended that God just inspired the thought and permitted the man to express it in his own words, he said they would have you believe that God just inspired certain thoughts and gave them to Balaam's ass, and then permitted the ass to express those thoughts in his own words. But God inspired the very words that were spoken by the ass to Balaam. And here, Paul says that from a child thou hast known the holy words. You've known the holy letters. I was interested in one line of thought introduced by a student of Timothy. He said, there is implied, if not expressed here, the thought that Timothy, as a child, learn to read by reading the Bible. Now, many of you know that in days gone by, the Bible was the only book in many homes. And there may be some here old enough to remember that the children learned to read and learn to spell, and they learned the alphabet from the Bible. And the implication here is that, Timothy, you learn to read from the Bible, and you learn the ABCs from the Bible, and you copied these letters from the Bible and words from the Bible, and you have known this from a child. Now, not only did you learn to read and to write from the Bible, but you also learned the way of salvation from the Bible. This is able to make you wise unto salvation. In our work among the Jews, I get many requests from people far and wide for certain tracts that they might use in what they call Jewish evangelism. We've never used such. We give the Bible to anyone that's interested. God has promised to bless the Bible. Many of you know Eddie Lieberman. We had him with us in meetings while I was pastor in Amarillo. Eddie Lieberman was a prisoner in jail over in the Carolinas. Got mixed up with some kind of automobile business. And he was in prison. He read everything in the jail and wore out every deck of cards they had. Finally, the only thing he could find that he hadn't read was the New Testament. Of course, being a Jew, he wasn't particularly interested, but he just decided to read it. And in the reading of the New Testament, came to know Jesus as his Savior. We had a saved a Jew with us one day on our tour of Israel. They had a Bible in the home that had been given them. Whenever anybody needed paper for anything, why, they'd tear out a page of the Bible. He tore out a page one day and got to reading it, and through the reading of that was saved. The Word of God. God speaks to men, to women, to boys and girls out of His book. We have distributed New Testaments by the hundreds and continue to do so. Every time a Jew believes on the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, through the ministry of the mission, we give them the Scofield Reference Bible. Now, Paul tells him here in this 15th verse that these holy words, these holy letters, are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Then he says, all the Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Some modern translations change the word all to every. And they make it read every Scripture that is given by inspiration. Now mark that. Every Scripture that is given by inspiration, raising doubts as to whether all of this is inspired by God or not. But the grammatical form of that verse does not admit of that translation. If they would let it read, every Scripture is given by inspiration, it'd be all right. But they insert the word every scripture that is given by inspiration. The King James translation is absolutely correct in this, in which it says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. The word inspiration means breathed into. Breathed into. There were several years I did not like for people to make tape recordings of any of my messages because I was very conscious of the fact that they recorded my mistakes as well as the rest of it. And I didn't want to hear my mistakes myself, and I didn't want to hear about them. I don't know whether you people are conscious of that, but a speaker is more conscious of his mistakes than are you. And the one thing they don't want to hear is about their mistakes from you. Oh, there's something. Because that tape recording, it even recorded my breath. When I first started my radio programs years ago, one of the first persons that heard talking to me said, "Did you run all the way to the radio station?" And I said, "No." And they said, "Well, you talked like you couldn't get your breath." I said, "I couldn't. But it wasn't because I ran, it's because I was scared. Scared of a microphone?" Yeah, scared. Scared to death of it. Took me a long time to conquer it. Now, everything I breathed was recorded. Now, the word translated inspiration literally is God breathed. Theonustios. God breathed. And just as my inhalings and exhalings are recorded on tape as well as the words, God breathed. God breathed into this. And this is a recording of that which God actually said. Now, all scripture, that's the difference between the Bible and all other books. This is the Word of God. This is the Word of God. Now, we don't rightly evaluate this, nor appreciate it. Is there God? Do you believe there is a God? The Creator of all of this. Do you believe there's a God before whom one day we'll give an account? Do you believe we are responsible to a God in heaven above? Surely you do. You wouldn't be here this morning if you didn't. This is God Almighty's word to you and to me. This word is profitable. This word is beneficial for you and me. I want to tell you something for your own good. Attracts attention when you express that to an individual. Now look what Paul says to Timothy. And these are Paul's dying words. All scripture. I know that possibly what he had in mind just then, in one sense of the word, was the Old Testament. That's which was written, but it also includes the New Testament. There's no doubt about that. It's profitable. It's beneficial. For four things. The Word of God is profitable. The Word of God is beneficial. For four things. Number one, for doctrine. Now, the word doctrine scares people, and people run from it and evade it and don't look at it, don't study it. One day, in a class in theology, one of the budding theologians asked the professor, "How often should we preach a doctrinal sermon?" I think he had in mind a 3 or 4 hour sermon on predestination or something like that. They used to do that in the old days. I went to preach one weekend in a rural church in the hills of Kentucky, and I carried with me 4 or 5 messages, about 30 minutes apiece, and went out to the first meeting, which was Saturday night. They said to me, "You won't preach tonight because this is business meeting night." And so they had their business meeting for about an hour and got through, and they said to me, "Well, Brother Wilson, we've got about an hour left. You can make a few remarks." Well, I let them have my first sermon, and then Sunday morning when they got started, Sunday school at 9, I think they turned it over to me at 10 o'clock. I said to one, "What time we get out?" He said, "Well, it just depends on who's speaking, sometimes 2, sometimes 3. Well, I had 3 sermons. I gave them all 3 of them. Gave them back about an hour. And then came back that night without anything. And I learned the truth of what our professor had said on one occasion. He said, "The less you know about anything, the longer you can talk on it." And I didn't know anything, and I talked for 2 hours that night. Now, doctrine is not some far-off subject that nobody can understand, that one would preach on. How often should we preach a doctrinal sermon? The professor said, if you ever preach a sermon that isn't doctrinal, throw away that book you're using and get a Bible. Doctrine is simply teaching. Now, this is good for teaching. There are many things about God that you need to know. There are many things about God that I need to know. We don't go into a trance and have a revelation or a vision or dreams. God has recorded in this book everything He wants us to know about Him. And this book is good for spreading the knowledge of God and the things about God. You want to know about God? Go to the Bible. Go to the Bible. Here's where you learn about God. And here's the only place you learn about God. Now, this book, Paul says to Timothy, is beneficial. It's profitable for the impartation of knowledge about God and heaven and the things that pertain to God and to heaven. In the second place, this book is profitable for reproof, for warnings. Start out along the road, there are warnings. Dangerous curve. Slow down to 20 miles an hour. Bridge out. Men working. All kinds of warnings along the road or the highway of life. And as we begin to live for the Lord, we have 3 major enemies. The world. This tells you about the world. Love not the world nor the things of the world. It explains you how to overcome the world and the things of the world. Then we have a second enemy, the flesh. Mortify the flesh. Keep the body under subjection. It tells you in here how to do that. Then the third great enemy is the devil. And this book tells us and warns us about him and his ways. This book is beneficial for reproof. This book says, don't. Superintendent of the city schools of a city or town where I was pastor was a member of the church. And he came to me one day and he said, I'm older than you and I'm more experienced than you and I can help you. I said, I'm open. He said, don't say don't so much. I wondered why he hadn't learned his own lesson. Don't say don't. Maybe I shouldn't have said it, but I told him someone should have told the Lord that before he wrote this book. This book is full of don'ts. Listening to an internationally famous speaker one day years ago over the radio, he said, it's my abiding conviction that the reason the majority of people don't read this book is because they have not progressed very far until they encounter a thou shalt not. And when they encounter that, they close it up and read something else. But this book is beneficial for reproof. Now, we're told in the Word of God that reproof according to Scripture is good. In the third place, this book is beneficial or profitable for correction. It's not enough to tell one, you can't get through this road. You've got to show them a way through which they can pass. It's not enough to say don't. One must provide some do's. Do this, and thou shalt live. Do this, and thou shalt be blessed. And this book is full of correction, which is telling one the right thing to do. Reproof is telling one the wrong things not to do. And then, in the fourth place, this book is profitable or beneficial for instruction in righteousness. Righteousness, we know, in its simplest terms, is right living. And a word there that one can use, that this book is beneficial in instructing one in discipline. Discipline. One must be disciplined. Because we seldom exercise self-discipline, we have to be disciplined by somebody else. The 12th chapter of Hebrews is difficult for people to understand, because when it speaks of chastisement, we learn that chastisement is not punitive. It's not the result of someone doing wrong, but the chastisement is discipline in order to help one to grow and to develop into that which one should be. And one needs training in discipline. There used to be a great deal more discipline than today, because there were not so many outside attractions. Coming home from school, certain tasks to be performed before it got dark. There was kindling and wood to be brought in, sometimes coal. Sometimes there were the chickens to feed, the hogs to swill. There were other tasks to be done. Those were portioned out among members of the family, not because we had done wrong, but to train us to do something, to discipline ourselves, to control ourselves. And this book is beneficial for discipline. This book helps you to control yourself, and it brings your thoughts into subjection to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, as Paul is writing to Timothy about this book, he says now, in this 16th verse, all Scripture is given by the in-breathing of God, and it's beneficial for teaching, for reproving, for correction, for training in discipline. Why? That the man of God, and the word man is used in a generic sense, which includes both male and female, that the one who believes in God may be mature, fully developed, thoroughly or thoroughly or completely furnished unto all good works. Everything that God expects out of you and of me is set forth in this book. Now, having set forth the importance of the Scripture, look back with me to chapter 2. It's on the same page, same opening, but on the left-hand side, the second chapter and the 15th verse. Study. Give diligence. Apply yourself that you may show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The word study literally means to give all diligence. In my university days, I knew young men and women that hardly had time for any social activities, any extracurricular activities. You pass them on the campus, they'd speak, but they had a faraway look in their eyes. They were boys and girls that were going somewhere. They were boys and girls that had a goal. Nothing was going to cause them to deviate in their course. They had certain degrees they wanted to attain, certain proficiency in certain areas of life, and they gave all diligence. That was number one. They gave all diligence. They forewent pleasures and other things in this life in order to apply themselves that they might reach the goal which they had set. Now, the Spirit of the Lord through Paul, as he's writing to Timothy, says, now, give all diligence. Give all diligence. Don't let anything sway you. You want to show yourself approved. We do things for approval. We want the approval of husband or wife, father or mother. We want the approval times of the children. We like to hear words of commendation. But here, one day, we're going to be approved or disapproved by God. Now, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. The Apostle Paul is fearful of God disapproving him. He's afraid that God is going to disapprove him. And as he concludes that 9th chapter, verses 26 and 27, verse 27 28 would be enough. I keep under my body, bring it into subjection. He's training for a race, for a physical athletic contest, boxing, wrestling, certain things he couldn't eat, certain things he couldn't drink, certain exercises in which he had to engage. But I keep my body under absolute control. And I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be disapproved. Translated, cast away. But the word is disapproved. When I stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't want there to be hundreds or maybe thousands of people who are there because of my ministry, and then I myself disapprove because of some place where I myself let down, some sins I committed. Now, I keep my body under subjection so that I will not be disapproved when I stand before the Lord. I want to be approved when I stand before the Lord. In Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, I believe it's chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Esau comes to his father thinking that he is to receive the birthright, the blessing. In the 12th chapter of Hebrews, verse 16 and 17. Warning, lest there be any fornicator, which is one person, or a profane person, which is another one, as Esau. Esau was a profane or worldly or carnally minded individual who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was disapproved. Here, King James says rejected, but the Greek word is disapproved. He was disapproved, and he did not receive the birthright. Paul was working hard that he be not disapproved. Now, in 2 Timothy 2 and 15, study. Give diligence, because one day we're going to stand before the Lord. One day you and I are going to stand before the Lord, and we are going to be approved or disapproved. Now, give diligence in the study of this book, and you will not be disapproved when you stand before the Lord. Rightly dividing the word of truth, cutting straight, teaching correctly the word of truth. We're going to take up the study of the book of Revelation, which tells us of things which are shortly to come to pass. The book of the Revelation is the book of the hour. Next Sunday morning, we begin that study. Next Sunday evening, the book of Romans. Now, what have I tried to tell you this morning? All Scripture is inspired by God. And this book is profitable for teaching the imparting of knowledge about God. This book is profitable for reproof. This book tells us what we're not supposed to do. Third place, this book is beneficial for correction, or telling us what to do. And then this book will help us to give discipline to our lives. And then he says to Timothy, now be diligent. Be diligent that you be approved of God. Father, bless this meditation. May it bear fruit in our lives. We ask in Christ's name. Now, I feel like there might be